I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's V-Y-V-G-A-R-T MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the Old Park Hotel. They knew it was haunted, but weren't quite prepared for the greeting on the first day after they had purchased it.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, you can become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is with me today. And Kathy, this story is actually a little bit of an excerpt from a Grave Talks episode I did
recently.
I'm
so excited. I love your Grave Talks. This is going to be like an old hotel.
Yeah.
Who buys an old hotel? That's so creepy.
Connie and Dan LaFave.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I bought an old funeral home, and I don't think that's as weird as buying an old hotel. I think a hotel is more creepy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. They weren't even planning on buying it. So they had been paranormal investigators for years. Like, they met through paranormal investigations.
Okay.
That's how they met. And then they were living like in San Antonio. And this Old Park Hotel is in Ballinger, Texas. So the episode, I believe, is called The Ghosts of the Old Park Hotel or something like that. Or The Old Park Hotel. I guess I should have remembered what the title of it is. But it has Old Park Hotel in there. They were very interested in the paranormal. And then they ended up moving back around where Connie's from. He had read an article on this hotel, and they went and investigated it. Not really investigated. I think they just went to go check it out.
Okay.
And they were like, oh, yeah, this place is haunted AF. When they were there, at that time, it was an antique shop, which is really, really strange when you bring in that many antiques into a place that has that much activity. So they go look at it, and the woman says, it's actually for sale. And Dan's like, aha. And Connie's like, no, we're not buying this building. You know, we just came to check it out, not planning on buying
anything. It's one thing
to
go investigate where ghosts are 20 miles away from you. It's another to know that you're living in it.
Well, they don't live in it. They just bought it. Yeah.
They just bought it. Okay.
So, but they weren't planning on buying it at the time. So then they had some really tragic life events happen. Boom, boom, boom. So the hotel was not on the radar at all. They'd kind of forgotten about it. And then out of the blue one day, the woman who owned it called them, and she was like, the spirits really want you to buy this hotel, this building. That's what she told him.
Oh, I don't know what I think about that.
Yeah. And so she said that there were at least 30 spirits in this hotel. And now that he's had it for several years, he said, oh, yeah, there's 30 spirits in here.
Okay, well, so, what's in there now?
People doing paranormal investigations.
Okay, but they don't, it's not a hotel. It's not
a they do not use
store.
It as a hotel. They left the name as that because that's kind of what it was known as. They just rented out for paranormal investigations. And they keep plenty busy doing that. And there's, oops, sorry, my cat is like walking all over everything. So they rent it out for the paranormal investigations. There's a place across the street, an old jail that they team up with. So you could investigate both. So that's what's cool on the Grave Talks. There's a lot of these places that you can rent out and do investigations. You know, so if you want to do a paranormal summer of vacations, like there's so many places you can go. And you can rent these places like, I don't remember off the top of my head what theirs is, but it's like, you know, 5-6 people can go in for $350 and be there for 12 hours. You know, they're all different on what they charge, but $250 to $350 is pretty standard on these. And they do limit it. And anybody over that's another $50. That's pretty standard. He picked up on the activity when they were in there right off the bat, just visiting. So the first day they were there, you know, he's going around assessing what needs to be done because all the money they make on these investigations, they're just putting it right back into the building, which is interesting. A lot of these people I've talked to, that's what they do, renting it out for paranormal investigations. They're not getting rich, but it's helping them pay the bills, replace.
Put on a new roof if it needs it or,
Yeah. So this is his story, Dan's story, from the first day when he went in there with his wife and another guy.
Okay.
Here you go.
Day one, me and my wife and a friend of ours, after we bought the building, it was like a whirlwind. It's like all of a sudden there we were. I'm like, we did it. Now we have a building. Now what? The first thing was the work that needed to be done. She had sold a lot of the antiques. We had bought a lot of them. The building needed a lot of work in the build in the very beginning. The biggest thing was it only had one air conditioner in the very beginning. So you can imagine how hot that building was. So I needed to figure out that air conditioning situation pretty quick. And over time, we have a lot of air conditioners now. So we've definitely solved that. That first day was a Saturday. It was very sunny outside. I had a checklist in my hand. And a friend had just showed up because he wanted to see the building. And we were just walking around. We weren't talking ghosts. The building was all sunny inside. We weren't talking spookiness. We weren't talking anything. We were just talking about what needed to be done. And we're walking down the main hallway and we're just standing there. And then all of a sudden we start to hear what sounds like an old speaker starting to crackle, like staticky sound. And we're looking around going, what is that? And we're just kind of looking at each other, looking at the wall, looking at the ceiling, trying to figure out where the sound is coming from. And it just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, there was a loud popping noise. And then an old woman's voice fills the whole hallway. And she goes, "Hello."
What?
Yes, exactly. This was like the loudest, clearest disembodied voice that you could ever imagine. She was just like right on top of us. And she wasn't scary. She was saying it in a nice way. But it was, you know, to this day, I think she was like welcoming us. That's kind of what it felt like. And that's all we heard. That's all she said was hello. But that's all we had to hear. And it blew us away. I mean, we looked at each other and we were just like, whoa, did that just really happen?
And both of you heard it.
All three of us. We were all standing there. It was right on top of us. It was like having a fourth person in the room standing next to us yelling the word hello. That's how loud it was.
That is crazy.
Yeah. We ran outside. We looked everywhere. There wasn't anybody else around. And it was clearly in the hallway with us. You know how you can be in buildings sometimes and hear people talking outside. You can tell it's outside.
Right.
This was like in the hallway, like a few feet away from us. And it was just so loud. I mean, she was like right on top of us.
Yeah, because it's interesting because you can hear. You can tell when something's outside. You can tell when it's behind you, in front of you. It came from downstairs. You kind of get a sense of where the sound comes from, no matter where you're at.
Yes. And the interesting part about it, when I analyzed it afterwards, obviously, we weren't recording. I wish we were. We weren't prepared for that moment. A lot of times you aren't. The staticky sound that I was describing to you and how it got louder and how there was a popping noise, it makes me wonder if that is the so-called, people talk about the veil that's in between our world and their world. And sometimes you hear these weird popping noises or very loud staticky noises. You got to wonder, you know, is that what we're hearing? Are they breaking the void? Is that what that noise is?
So isn't that an interesting theory there at the end?
Like, I was thinking something along that lines of just this electrically charged buildup getting louder and louder and louder, as if, you know, something is trying really hard to connect and, you know, make a communication, you
know. And it's so interesting just to hear hello. And he went on in the episode, and give the episode a listen, because that's just, that the episode's like, it's to him, it's an hour conversation. But he's had more than one psychic, reputable psychics, just tell him that there's a woman that follows him throughout the building.
Really?
Makes me think it's her. That she's kind of welcoming. She wants to make sure that he gets all the information right when he's doing tours and things. Because you can tour the building. Yeah. They have like paranormal overnight investigations. They have some ghost hunts where, like, I think it's $50. You can go in with a buddy. You know, they do those certain nights.
And people seem to get a lot of activity that go in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They do?
Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot. There's a lot of activity in that building. But I just thought that particular story was so interesting. It's day one. They're a million miles away. He's thinking about the air conditioner and all the things that they need to tackle immediately.
I was a little worried when he started talking about a hallway in a hotel. I thought there's going to be creepy little twin girls standing at the end of it saying, Radrum, you know. I was like, oh no. We know what can happen in hotels.
I just think it's so interesting how welcoming it is. And, you know, it made me think of something that happened to me years ago. And Tony and I talked about this, but it's been quite a while ago. But I was working at a theater. It's a haunted theater. So, and everybody knows it. And so one night, the show was over. We're cleaning up. We were hanging out, which we would do back then. Everybody hang out after the show was over, and we got it cleaned up and need to have a couple drinks. Then we'd usually all go out someplace else. But that night that night we were hanging out, and I heard this staticky thing. And that's what this story reminded me of. So I heard this static, and it was like really loud, staticky, like popping, weird, electrical. I don't know what this is exactly. Then I could hear a man's voice. It sounded like that. Like, I can't understand anything he's saying, but it was deeper than my voice. But my voice is pretty deep. It's like, so I could tell it's a guy talking. I can't hear anything he's saying. And it's coming through the speakers is what it sounds like. So I go over to the soundboard, and it's not even on. So I'm like, okay, the power is off. How can anything be coming through the speakers? And then when he described that, that's what that sounded like back then. Mm-hmm. It was like this staticky stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what got my attention first, because I was like, what is this? And then I heard the man talking, and I remember somebody said to me, oh, it's probably a cab outside, and they're on their two-way radio. And I'm like, we're on the third floor of a building. Like, no, that's not.
Well, in the sound, in the electricity, it's not hooked up to anything that could be on a frequency.
No.
There's no power. Yeah, you know, there's no power.
So now hearing that, like.
Did anybody else hear it?
Yeah, there was somebody else in the room. And so the other person, I think, was in total denial that could have been a paranormal experience, and was mansplaining to me.
Ghost-splaining.
Dude, I worked in radio at the time. I know about speakers and microphones and all this shit. Like, I'm not stupid. And he was ghost-splaining because I think it scared him, actually.
That's more than I think most of the time it is. I think that's more like it. You know, people get nervous and afraid, and so they just start, you know, saying, well, it's this or this or this or this or this, you know.
But I just think the Old Park Hotel is very interesting. So sometime it's 180 miles west of Waco. So okay. We could go to our sister's house and just take a little detour.
That is way out there. it's in the middle of nowhere. Texas, and you could still drive for hours and hours and still be in Texas.
Yeah. So I just think that's a good one. You can hear the whole episode. It's on the Grave Talks. And I've got a couple more in upcoming episodes that we're going to talk about, because I've had a couple really interesting haunted building episodes mm-hmm. lately. And I'm always fascinated by them. So here's another story, and this one says, my name is Lee Williams from Lexington, Kentucky. First off, I just want you to know that I love your show. My children and I listen all the time. I wrote a few months ago about a phone call from a dead friend. Don't know if you ever got to it. I can't answer that because I'm not sure. It says, I have several stories, but this is one that will always haunt me. Warning, this is going to be a long story, but I'll try to keep things brief. This one takes place when I was 19. I was living in my hometown of London, Kentucky. I was dating this guy. We had went to junior high and high school together. He was my boyfriend's best friend. Me and that guy split. So she was dating her boyfriend's best friend. I had to figure that out. Years later, I met up with Jesse and we hit it off. 2 weeks into our relationship, we were talking on the phone and we were talking about our deepest secrets. Okay, this is a deep secret. He then goes on to tell me he was possessed by a demon.
Oh.
At first I thought, wow, I'm like dating in that job.
Like he had been or he is at the moment. Like, you know, it comes and goes or something. Like
he was possessed by a demon.
He was at the time.
That's what it says.
Okay.
That is, okay, so my first boyfriend was a warlock, and that wasn't a deal breaker for me.
Warlocks happen, you know.
Should have been a deal breaker, but it wasn't. So,
you know, you never can see the signs. You never can. Like,
you know, when somebody's really handsome, you just ignore all the other shit.
And I will be honest, I knew the warlock. And he was incredibly handsome. You are right about that.
He was very handsome. And I was like, oh, my God, he's so handsome. And he's all about me. And then it's like I find out he's a warlock. I'm like, I'm going to see if I can make this work. So I'm just saying if a guy tells you that he's possessed by a demon or something, like he's a warlock, you might want to consider
listen to
being
them.
A
you know,
deal
when people
breaker.
Trying to tell you of something that they are, that's probably the truth. Listen, you know.
Yeah, I should have never dated him, but whatever. It makes for a lot of interesting stories when you date
a
warlock.
There were many interesting stories about that.
It says, weeks later, he began staying the night with me. He told me that when he sleeps, he has these nightmares that he is fighting against this demon. Okay, so right there, if I'm dating a guy, he says that he's possessed by a demon, and then he's spending the night at my house, and he says, you know, I have these nightmares where I'm fighting against a demon. I don't think I would never sleep, number one. I would just lay there and go, is he going to be fighting a demon? Is he fighting a demon yet? When's he going to start fighting the demon?
Well, I want to hear the rest of the story before I just jump in here.
Okay, it says, we drifted off to sleep, and sometime in the middle of the night, he ended up jumping so hard he woke me up. I sat up to watch him struggle against something I couldn't see or hear. His arms were by his side, and his hands were balled into fists. I watched as he was being attacked, and there was nothing I could do. I tried talking to my sister about it, who told me I was losing my mind. I don't think... Talking to your sister or there's nobody's going to give you any good advice on this one.
Well, the advice they're going to give you and the advice you should listen to is maybe move on. You know,
can you get him to a priest or something? Because your sister ain't going to be able to help you. Because I'm just telling you, back in the day, if I'm dating a warlock. Like, you never said to me, this is a bad idea. But he is cute.
You know, I mean, we were kind of into, like, I'm not saying we were into, like, doing dark arts or anything necessarily. But, you know, everybody read tarot cards and that was cool. And everybody had little pyramids in their house. And, you know, we all had these little you know, things. We were all into these mystical things at the time. It was just kind of something everybody kind of dabbled in a little bit, but it wasn't like I was into dark arts or anything like that. But, you know, I do think, Carol, if I thought somebody was possessed, I would probably tell you this is probably not a good
thing. This is over. You're in over your head.
This probably is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
So then she goes on to say, called over my best friend Travis and told him what I saw. He didn't believe me, but agreed to stay anyway. Jesse came over. We all had a great time laughing and talking. Eventually, we all decided to call it a night. Again, Jesse wakes me by his uncontrollable jerking. I woke up Travis, told him to help me. This time, things were worse. Scratches appeared across his chest, and his nose began to bleed. His cheeks became red as if something had punched him. This happened over and over when he stayed with me. Travis would stay every time. Wow, Travis is a nice guy. Maybe she should have been dating Travis. Travis would stay over every time to help me clean up Jesse as he slept. We never told anyone, nor did we ever talk about it. A few times I had to deal with the demon myself in order to have Jesse back for 24 hours. The demon would always call me his princess. Okay, I don't get any of this necessarily. Like, if you have to have your best friend come over every time you want to spend the night with your boyfriend, that's not, something's effed up there. Even if it's not a demon, it's like, but then how could you not ever talk about it?
Between I definitely would have
like
to.
Like, I'd be talking about it.
I would definitely
with
have
Jesse.
To sit down and go, okay, so this is what happened last night, you know? And how do you suggest that we handle this when this happens?
I think Jesse
like, I would
should
have
been
to
involved.
Have a conversation.
Travis, since he's there all the time, he needed to be involved. Then I don't get this other part where it says, I had to deal with a demon myself in order to have Jesse back for 24 hours. Because she said it's just happening at night. But maybe, I don't know, maybe some nights it would not happen. So it says, trust me, I know how this sounds. You can call this story bogus if you'd like, but I have numerous witnesses on the rest of this story. A few months later, Jesse and I parted ways. Whew. Mainly because he wanted to protect me, so he left. I didn't hear from him again for 8 years. Mm. One day, he just showed up on my doorstep. I was still very much in love with him. We picked up where we left off. We talked of the prior relationship we had and how things ended. He had finally got an exorcism a year after we split. So that's positive. Hopefully he gave up smoking and got an exorcism. I don't know if he smoked. But it says, I already knew this because at the same time when it happened, the demon appeared at my house. He never spoke. He just stood at the end of the hallway. He appeared as a dark shadow, but I could tell what he was wearing, a suit and a cowboy hat. How would you know that's a demon, though? That could have been a shadow person. So it says, I told him all of this. Mind you, this was 7 years prior. It was the last time I saw that demon until Jesse started coming back around. Then I would see the demon in several places over the next few years. I even have had friends tell me they have seen a man looming over me. The most recent was by a resident at my work. Mind you, I moved away from my hometown of London, Kentucky. So when my resident asked me, who is the man in the suit? I asked, what man? She said, the one behind you. I turned, but I didn't see anything. I asked her, what did he look like? She looked at me and said, he was wearing a suit and a hat. I knew immediately. I finished up my job and went home and broke down. He had found me again. I've not seen the shadowy figure in quite some months. I hope I never do again. That's all for this one for now. If I see him again, I will definitely let you know. Like I said, I know how this story sounds. I have asked myself so many times over the past 10 years if I was imagining the whole thing. If I was only seeing what I wanted to, but I know he's real and I know he's waiting. For what? I don't know, but he's attached to me somehow. Anyway, thanks for having a place where people like me can share things with you. I'm sorry this story is so long. Keep up the good work. Always, Lee. Well, that's just plain old creepy.
Well, I have several thoughts here about this story. One is, I believe her. I believe that something was happening with the boyfriend, the former boyfriend, that was giving him night terrors. And now she said she saw that he was being scratched and welts and things like that. So, you know, that definitely suggests there was something else going on, something additional to then just being, you know, nightmares, night terrors, that sort of thing. You know, I am a little worried that maybe there was some mental illness or something, you know, combined in this somehow, maybe, possibly. And just because I myself have had experiences with someone that had mental illness, and some of these things, I would not say that, but there were times that he would self-harm a little bit and things. And I wonder just a little. That's all, you know, I'm saying on that front. Now, could this shadow figure type man be completely disrelated to this?
It could be.
Maybe, you know, because we've talked about, you know, I have felt like there's a man that I see periodically. He's not so much of a shadow figure as more of a blurry kind of vision, you know, almost like if you see somebody sort of like underwater or something, you know, they're just this blurry kind of form that I see. But I have always felt like there has been someone that's there with me to kind of protect me. I will hear a man's voice sometimes, and I feel like it's him. So I'm wondering, is she convinced this guy's bad? Or is he
a protector? You mean Jesse or the shadow person?
No, the shadowy guy.
Well, I think that she's made the connection, because she did say a few times, I had to deal with the demon myself, but she doesn't say, and she said the demon would always call me his princess. She said it's the demon appeared at my house. He never spoke. He just stood at the end of my hallway, appeared as a dark shadow, but I could tell when he was wearing a suit and a cowboy hat, which really sounds more like a shadow person, which doesn't mean it was a demon.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, are we really talking about a demon in this end of the story?
You know, I gotta tell you,
is it a shadow figure? Is it bad? Or maybe he's protecting her. Maybe this whole demon thing is, you know, brought her protector closer.
Yeah, because we were talking about that in another episode recently about a woman in the guardian angel kind of protector person. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's more what it is.
I'm not convinced that he's bad. This cowboy hat suited dark figure. She may just be connecting them because they kind of seem to overlap a little, or maybe this guy came out of the woodwork to protect you from whatever else was going on with this ex-boyfriend.
And I just think dating someone who's possessed by a demon is just too far.
Well, it's probably not going to go
anywhere. It's not good. And then Jesse's like, I have to break up to get you away from the demon. And I'm like, you're dating someone else, aren't you?
And it's like, no, I'm just using you to get to, you know.
I mean, I'm not here to judge, because I am the girl who definitely did date a warlock.
You did date a warlock, so what are you talking about?
And he was always threatening putting hexes on me and shit.
That's right.
But the one part of the story that bothers me probably the most is that I'm wondering if I even should have done the story, because it says my children and I listen all the time. Like, now is this the story you want your kids to hear about you?
Well, like, they probably already know it.
Children, did I ever tell you about the time I dated a man who was possessed by a demon? So if you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can get ad-free versions of the show. You'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber. Do it through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.